I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So my takeaways from Baker Mayfield's press conference after he signed his three-year, $100 million deal with $50 million guaranteed was this. I have a bunch of them, but I'll start with this. This was never a sure thing. I mean, in as much as that both the Bucs and Mayfield wanted to be and play again, you know, run it back, as it were, because of the success they had last year. It got contentious, more so than I think me or other people really realized. And so, you know, whether it was total value, years, average per year, guaranteed money, we'll never know, right, what the sticking points were. But at the end of the day, as Stephen A. would say, I think that it was a fair deal for both. But the one thing that I came away with is, like, you know, there were some pretty tight moments a little bit, you know, before the start of free agency or the tampering period, where nobody was really sure how this was going to go. And so Baker told this story where he was at Salt Shack, which is the waterfront, you know, restaurant bar, sort of in South Tampa there, and on the bay. And so he's there with his wife, Emily, and of course his BFF, Tristan Wirfs, and his girlfriend, and both of their significant others are pregnant, by the way. And so they're sitting there, and finally Baker senses that there might be some movement one way or the other. And so he calls Jason Light with basically a career defining question. Says, are we getting this done or what? And so he said, I think Jason was caught a little off guard because the few texts before that between each other were not exactly as positive of an outlook. He said, but you know, obviously he was excited as he was. So then slowly news of the agreement leaked out, and it came across the crawler there where they were at the restaurant, and people started congratulating and then and whatnot. But that was an interesting sort of exchange, is that you think that, and ultimately they did get it done, but you think that just because he had so much success and he's been with so many teams, and there's a lot of reasons why he wanted it to work here, it may not have worked here. And I'm just thinking to myself, in a parallel universe, what would they have done, Steve, if Baker Mayfield had agreed to enter free agency? I don't know this because I haven't talked to anybody with the Atlanta Falcons or Raheem or anybody. I'm wondering if Atlanta had caught wind of this, if Atlanta wouldn't have preferred Baker over even a Kirk Cousins, who they paid a ton of money more for, and clearly must think he can take him to the Super Bowl. But I don't, like, that might have become an option for them. He could have become an option for a lot of teams, quite frankly. But he must have had other opportunities, or he wouldn't have been, you know, there wouldn't have been this kind of contentiousness between the two parties.
Well, not only that, but now we know why Jason Light said if we get all these guys re-signed, he's going to throw a boat parade.
That's right.
That it wasn't, maybe it wasn't quite as simple as.
I don't think it was.
We anticipated. And yeah. It may have been even with others like Mike and Levante David. And
all of them, sure.
Know, it doesn't mean all these went that smoothly. I mean, Mike decided he wanted to be a Buck for life, but we don't know what the conversations were before that.
Derek Gilmore's tough. I can tell you that all these agents, you know, have obviously high-profile clients, and they do a good job for their clients, and that is their deal. But dealing with Derek Gilmore, who was Mike Evans' agent, guys like Tom Mills, who was Baker Mayfield's agent, those are hard negotiations. These guys can really bring it, you know, and And so they all had to work, and they all had to kind of give. There's, you know, like any negotiation, you don't get every, you don't walk away. The best deal is the ones where both of them feel like they lost something, you know, they didn't get everything they wanted. And I think that's the case in this one. But man, I'll tell you what, and I don't know, you know, I would caution Bucks fans. I know there's a lot of people, including Jason, that want to throw a boat parade, which is great. And I think what Jason has done, let's be honest, it's rare to have this many, you know, high profile free agents and get them all back, right? Which is what he's kind of done. So I think he's right to take his bows for that. But it doesn't mean that just because you have the same players as last year that it's going to go exactly how it went or better. Like, every season's different, right? And, you know, just the mere fact that those guys that they just re-signed, to a man, they were all pretty much healthy. I mean, I think maybe Lavonte David missed two games, but everybody else, you know, Baker played, he started every single game. And, you know, that's huge. And the same with Mike Evans. And, you know, so that's just the nature of football. It's hard to predict, and you've still got a new offensive coordinator. You still have, you know, a lot of moving pieces and needs and things that they have to do to be a complete team. But, you know, this idea, and I wrote about this in the Tampa Bay Times and on TampaBay.com, but think about this. This is a guy, you know, who has, since college, right, been this, you know, the grass is not going to get brown under his feet, right, because he's always moving. And, you know, whether it's from Texas Tech to Oklahoma, Cleveland, then he gets, you know, dealt to Carolina, and he gets waived, and he's with the Rams, then the Bucks, and that's in 18 months. Like, he's been everywhere. And, you know, for him to finally be able to call a place home, in addition to his football home, but his, you know, his life. His wife's due next month, their first child, a little girl. And he decided, he said, that whether he signed here or not, they were making Tampa home, which I thought was an extraordinary comment. You know, in 1 year, he fell in love with this place and the community. And you know, before he got here, he knew nothing about Tampa. He said, I heard it was a hockey town, which is a great compliment to the Lightning, by the way.
It is. And I did take note of that comment.
Yeah. And I got a note from Eduardo Encina, my buddy cop, and he goes, did Baker say he thought this was hockey? I go, yeah. Well, you know, look, they had won three championships by the time the Bucks won their second. So there's that. And so he didn't know anything about it. But then when he got here, he said, you know, the people are so nice, and obviously it's a great place to live, and everybody wants to be outside. And so what's interesting about this scene setter, again, you can check it out on TampaBay.com, is that when all this is going on, he's at the Salt Shack. Of course he is, you know, and he's overlooking the bluest water in Tampa. And then you get this, you know, he said it was sort of a surreal feeling. He's there with Emily and Tristan and his girlfriend Meredith and, you know, their closest friends. And you just, this feeling of absolute relief, right, and joy. And it's this community feel. And he said, you know, that was the biggest thing. You know, and people are, it's coming across the ticker while they're there, and people are coming up saying congratulations to him. And he says, you know, it's just awesome to be able to look out over the water. And that's the reason it makes this place so special. Everybody wants to be together and outside. And, you know, so this scene of where it took place, and them all, you know, being there to celebrate and just enjoy the fact that they finally have a home. They have an NFL home. They have a home that they're going to raise their, you know, their little girl's going to be born here. That's a big deal, because this is a people business like most businesses. Obviously, they're all talented and they have short careers and they risk a lot. And it's a, you know, you're a play away from ending it all. And it's really a tough, high pressure business, let alone playing quarterback. But I think on a human level, it was hard not to feel good for him and his wife when I sat through that press conference.
Absolutely. But I have one question about it, the Salt Shack.
Yeah.
If you're dining at a establishment and one of the other people dining in the establishment. It gets on the ticker, signs a $100 million contract, $50 million guaranteed. Do you ask them to pick up the tab for everybody, or how's that work?
Well, we didn't ask him that. It's a great question, but I think I would venture to guess that at least for that meal, and maybe for every meal, I don't know, because he was joined also by his offensive coordinator, Liam Combe, who was at Cohen, who was at the mall and planning to go to Salt Shack anyway, and then he got the call. It's like, hey, we're at Salt Shack. Come on over. And their assistant offensive line coach. I got to believe that when you've just agreed to a $100 million deal, everybody goes, they just walk away. Like, the arms get really short when the bill comes, right? Like,
yeah. Well, I meant the whole bar. I didn't mean just the people.
I know. Yeah. I know what you mean. And I didn't ask. It would have been probably well within his purview if he wanted to. I don't feel like you owe the whole bar, but
no,
maybe.
I hope the waiter or waitress got a good
tip. I'm sure they got well taken. Yeah, I would have bet that was probably one of the bigger tips he has left all year long. And I don't know if he's a good tipper or a bad tipper. I mean, you know, it doesn't seem to be something that's economically dependent, because I've heard superstars with multi-million dollar, sometimes they're the worst tippers. But yeah, I would think that he would have been very happy, very willing to pick up the check, and then people were happy for him. So, no, you know, it's just, and listen, Jason Light said he wanted a boat parade if he was able to thread this needle and get all these guys back and then some. I think you better get those water cabs ready, because he has done an unbelievable job of hitting all his priorities, almost in order, but all his priorities in the offseason, and that is to retain as many guys as they could from, you know, the team that just won their third straight NFC title. And I always said that I thought Mike Evans would be the hardest one, and obviously an assist from his wife Blair, who, you know, impressed upon Jason that you probably don't want to let an iconic player like Mike, who's playing so well, go. And then also, you know, getting Baker, obviously, the quarterback is everything in this league. And I think he got him for a fair deal. I don't think he overpaid, because it's, in reality, it's a 2-year, $50 million guaranteed, $60 million if he plays the second year. So, you know, puts him at $25, $30 million a year, which is right around 15th or 17th in the league among starters. That seems fair to me. You know, he didn't overpay for Evans, obviously. That's a 2-year deal. And in reality, before performance bonuses, he's making $20.5 million a year. I just think, like, getting Lavonte David, getting Chase McLaughlin, and then, oh, by the way, look, Tristan Wirfs is coming. His deal's coming too. And I think that they'll probably take that franchise tag off of Antoine Winfield Jr. soon, and hopefully get a long-term deal with him. But all those guys were guys that were their free agents, right? They're on their team now. Well, they did sign somebody who was from another team, but it's a guy that they drafted. And I thought this scene made so much sense. In fact, me and Greg Allman were leaving, having written this story about Baker's press conference, we were leaving together in the parking lot, and we kind of, you know, we're talking about, well, they don't have a lot of money, but what would they do next? And no sooner had we talked about, both of us, about Jordan Whitehead, we didn't get to our homes yet, and it was announced that the news broke that Jordan Whitehead from the Jets, former Buck draft pick, obviously out of Pittsburgh, played in the Super Bowl, helped them win a Super Bowl here, that he was coming back to Tampa Bay on a 2-year deal. I think if you add that to the guys that got coming back, and I think there will be more signings. I don't think they're done per se, you know, and then the Chase Edmonds and Greg Gaines and things like that. But to me, to have him to go back and pair with Antoine Winfield Jr., they have tried for the last several years since Whitehead left as a free agent to the Jets to replace him and haven't been able to do it. You know, the Ryan Neals and Logan and all that. I just think that this is a perfect signing for Jason Light. Makes the defense immediately better. You add a run thumper, and oh, by the way, you know, everybody said, well, he doesn't have any ball skills. Well, he's intercepted 6 passes since he left here. That was a great signing, Steve. I think that's one of the better signings I've seen this offseason.
It checks so many boxes, and he knows the team, most of the people.
Yes.
You know, I mean, putting him and Antoine Winfield Jr. back in the same secondary again.
Like, yeah.
It checks so many boxes. Even if he doesn't get a lot of interceptions in that. I mean, you've got guys like Winfield to do that. Jamel Dean, you're hoping, will do better with that. Like, it's okay if he doesn't, but I think it just makes the defense that much better on the back end. Like, as you said, they've been struggling for a couple seasons now. And how many guys have they rotated through that position?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, cast of thousands, and none of them have played well.
Mm-hmm. So bring back a guy who knows your defense. You know him.
Mm-hmm.
You know what he does well, what he doesn't. You know how they work. It checks so many boxes. It's a great move.
Yeah. No, I thought that was, like I said, we hadn't been out of the building more than 15 minutes. I stopped on Dale Mabry to get a sandwich. By the time the sandwich was done, they had signed him. And or agreed to terms with them. So outstanding job. And like I said, they can create more cap space. Yeah, I think before the signing with Whitehead, they were around $9 million over the cap. I'm not sure where they are now. They're going to absolutely have to create some space. And you do that by just redoing some contracts or taking that franchise tag you know, off of Antoine Winfield Jr. Because if you do that, he's right now counting a full 17.123 million against your cap. When you re-sign him to a longer term deal, 4 or 5 years, whatever it is, and then some, you know, some sort of option years after that, you can lower that. Base salary is going to be like 1.2 million. And then, you know, you take the guaranteed money, spread it out. So there's like $10 million or more you can save just on that contract alone. Same with Tristan Wirfs. So they're going to do some things to create more space. I think they'll have an opportunity to add some free agents. They're not going to get like big ticket guys right now. I think, you know, the big ticket guys are their guys, and those were the targets, and they hit them all. But there is going to be a secondary rush of free agency after this first weekend, and there'll be some bargains out there. There'll be some veterans looking for homes, and I think that they'll, you know, look at those areas where maybe they're looking for a starter, or, you know, increase the competition or veteran backup. They'll go about the process, but I just like what they've done. And, you know, in talking to Baker Mayfield, I mean, it's all about, you know, preparing to win the division, and they've won it 3 straight times. And so, you know, to win the NFC South, I know that the favorites are going to be the Atlanta Falcons. Like, there's no question to me, you know, everybody wants something different. They're going to be the it team. And, you know, it's great. You know, I like Kirk Cousins as a quarterback. I watched that Netflix series. He was fantastic as a human being. But he's coming off an Achilles. He's an older guy. That doesn't mean that he won't play well. And I like Raheem Morris. I think Raheem Morris is going to bring a lot to the party too. This division has suddenly gotten much better. And in talking to Baker about that, you know, look, the Bucs have a tough road. I mean, they've got a first-place schedule now that includes the Chiefs, the 49ers, and the Ravens, right? And the South has gotten better. I mean, Bryce Young has Dave Canales in his corner. Now, what was the positivity? How much did that help Dave Canales or Baker Mayfield last year? You know, the way Dave Canales was with him. The Falcons, of course, I mentioned, added Kirk Cousins. Derek Carr, he's in his second season with the Saints, and they also had the same record as the Bucs in the regular season last year at 9-8. So as Mayfield said, you know, what can he expect? Well, a lot more winning records. He said it's going to be just as competitive. We're going to have to take care of our business. And, you know, but we've set the standard in the division for a while now, and, you know, we're just going to try to keep it that way. So game on. You know, this division has gotten better. I think the Bucs still have more work to do. But re-signing Evans and Mayfield and David and Chase McLaughlin and you know, Edmonds and Gaines and all that, and in addition to that, Jordan Whitehead, I don't know that there are many off seasons that have gone better than this. And this statement here, right or wrong, is going to stick with Jason Light. He said this at the press conference: "This is one of the greatest free agency hauls ever. And it's our own guys. We have some Hall of Famers in there." And he mentioned Mike and Levante, David. And he said, it has been incredible. I think it's time that the national media realize we have some good players. Okay. All right, then. You're on record, man. You better take those good players and win. But, you know, he's right. Mike Evans, I think he's, if he doesn't play another down, I think he's a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. But he's still going. And Lavonte won't, and my prediction is it would be a very long time before people would recognize how great Lavonte was. Longevity will continue to help him and work for him. He's in his 13th season. That's a rarity. He'll continue to pile up the records. But, you know, they look at things, believe it or not, like all pro, Pro Bowl. Were you an all-decade player? He got overlooked for three-fourths of his career. And it wasn't until Tom Brady got here that he started getting recognized because they became the team that was on national TV and won a Super Bowl. But Lavonte David's numbers, believe me, are Hall of Fame worthy. They're approaching Derrick Brooks level, right, which is saying something. And so, yeah, I mean, if you look at the kind of players that they brought back and what they've meant to this franchise and can still play, I don't know that I totally disagree with, you know, the whole premise of it being a great haul. But I think there's a bias that people like to see, what are the new toys, right? Who did the Giants bring in? Who did the Ravens bring in? You know, what are the new toys that mm-hmm. they're going to get to play with? And they look at the Bucs and go, yeah, they just re-signed their own guys. But you know what? Their own guys are the ones that kicked everybody else's butt in the NFC South. So don't discount them.
But in defense of some of the media and those that mm-hmm. I don't want to say poo-poo it, because I look, the Bucs have done a good job this offseason. But you're bringing back everyone off a 9-8 team.
True. No, that's true. They won one game in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now they did get a playoff win, which is huge.
Right.
And I think Baker can be better in year two. I think the Jordan Whitehead signing is huge for that secondary to make them better. I think they have some holes to fill in the draft. Now they still need to find some edge rushers. They probably need some upgrade the offensive line. You know, maybe look at a tight end even. Might want to look at running back as well, although I think Rashad White's impressed us a lot more than we anticipated going into last season.
I mean, he damn near ran for 1,000. Yeah.
But every team's got some holes to fill. That's what happens when you have a salary cap. But
yeah,
it's going to be, you know, I you kind of want to caution Jason Light a little bit to taking a victory lap already. How many times has this team won the free agency?
They won the offseason before, yeah.
Now, and they got re-signing your own guys and not overpaying for a bunch of other free agents, which is what's happened in the past when they've won the offseason. Yeah. It's a much better situation you're in. Yeah. And in part, you got a quarterback as part of it. You know, so you know who's under your center now. There's no competition this year.
They're not going to have him and Trask try to battle it out?
I don't think so. Unless you want to break some news here.
So you're paying a guy $50 million and he's already, it's just like that, huh? Because Kyle has no shot, Gator fan. Sorry. No, I agree with you. And it is hard to sell like we have the same guys, right? Like there's mm-hmm. no shiny new toy. But now you have the same guys.
Well, but you're selling the same guys that went and won a playoff game last year.
Right. But also you have a new coordinator, which is not great, but that's just the way it is with a defensive head coach.
Yep.
But he's a guy that has a similar system to what Canales brought. And quite frankly, and I'm just going to go out here and say this, I don't know how things are going to go. I think he's going to be a better play caller than Canales, who never called plays, right? Never, never, ever, ever. And like in the run game alone, and I'll probably write about this later, but like in the run game alone, they had concepts and runs called, but it was kind of like a run it system, right? Like here's the play, now go run it. But you know what? Sometimes the play they had called didn't really work for the defense in front of them. And I think, you know, there was some ability for Mayfield to get him out of that. This season, it's a lot more is going to be on Baker's shoulders when it comes mm-hmm. to the run game, when it comes to checking out of bad plays yep. against mm-hmm. that defense in front of them. You didn't see a lot of that in Canales' nope. system.
No. Nope. And the other part of this is Liam Cohen has a full season of tape to watch Baker Mayfield playing with Rashad White, Kate Otten, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, you know, as a whole, to see what worked, what didn't. Mm-hmm. Baker's probably going to have a lot more input.
Yep.
Because he's got a full season of playing with these guys. And, okay, I know Mike can do this. I know Chris can do
this. That's right.
You know, it's a new coordinator, so it's going to be a change. And that doesn't mean it's always better. But I think there's so many things. And the fact that Liam and Baker have a relationship and know each other helps, too.
Yeah.
Which is huge in this. So
it's funny.
Combs should be able to mold the offense to what Baker wants to do, but also give him those options to get out of plays. And to change this, and you know, they're in a much better position this year than they were last year. No question about it. And this is a team that won a playoff game last year.
Nobody, listen, there were so many unanswered questions last year, right? Like, what is Baker? What does he have left? How's he going to react to competing? You know, can he stay healthy? Like all these things. And then there was Canales, who nobody knew, right? He spent all his time, 14 years or whatever, with Pete Carroll not calling plays, right? So, okay, so who is he? What's his system? Can he call play? Does he know these guys? You know what? It took him half a season to figure out that Rashad White should get the ball in space as a receiver. You know, didn't move Chris Godwin inside until Chris Godwin's wife said that they were lying about this or that, and that was, you know, he did caught no passes 1 week, and then all of a sudden he's playing in the slot, which Cohen wants to do right away. We talked to Cohen after this news conference on Wednesday, and he was like, I'm having the most fun that I've had in football in my life in these last couple months. He goes, you know, first of all, I get to do it, right? It's my offense. I get to call it. He goes, but in this building, when you're working here, he goes, you know, it's so collaborative, and there's such a people with good ideas. And he goes, and I'm just sort of taking it all in and figuring out, you know, what we can do with certain guys. And he had a lot of praise for Kate Otten. And you know, he's just, you can see that for an offensive coordinator like Cohen to get Mike Evans back, to get Baker Mayfield, which is why he is here, to come in and be back. Those are huge things for him. And I really think because he's called plays before at Kentucky, this is not his first, you know, run of that responsibility. I think he could potentially be a better offensive coordinator. Maybe not the same dude. Like, he's not going to be as, you know, overly positive as Dave Canales with a sunshine every day routine. But he's got the film, like you mentioned, Steve. He can see in a similar offensive scheme what Kate Otten could do, what Mike Evans could do, what Chris Godwin could do. And now Baker knows all these guys. And so they can take what they did well, throw away what they didn't do well, add some things to make them better and more efficient. And I think you're going to see a better running game. I think you're going to see Baker, you know, hit the ground running. And, you know, and this team also, and this is big potentially, and again, every year is different, but to get as far as they did to beat the Philadelphia Eagles and then, you know, be tied in the fourth quarter at Detroit with a chance to go to the championship game, that leaves you wanting more, right? Like we were so close that if we can get in this tournament, maybe we can make a push. And a lot of people, including probably Dan Orlovsky and others, I heard them talk about Atlanta this way. They're like, look, the Kirk Cousins thing's really good. Good for them. Happy they did it. You know what's going to happen? Even if they win the division, they're not going to go anywhere. They're not going to beat San Francisco. They're not going to beat Detroit. Like, I'm not sure about that. With Tampa, maybe with Atlanta, but certainly with Tampa. Like, I don't, you know, San Francisco could be losing some players, and they got a lot of pressure, and they've been to, you know, a couple Super Bowls and didn't win them. And Detroit had that great year, and now the expectations are ramped up, and now they have a first place schedule. And so do the Bucks, by the way. But is everything going to go exactly the same as it did for Dan Campbell a year ago? I think the NFC is still open for teams to win it. You know, if you told me the Green Bay Packers won the NFC this year in 2024, it would not shock me. Just wouldn't. I get it. Jordan Love played well at the end of the year. They got one of the youngest teams in the league. Receivers are coming on. Okay, I'll buy that. New defensive coordinator. I'm just saying, I don't think you can just look at the Bucks and say they don't have a chance, really, even Atlanta. But I don't think you can look at the Bucks and say they don't have a chance to go further than they did a year ago. Now, like I said, I started this podcast by saying, just because you got that far, this is not the same team. It's not the same players, a lot of the same players, but not the same players. And there's going to be major obstacles to overcome. There's going to be injuries. There's going to be this and that. Really good opponents. Like, nothing of this, none of this is ever easy. But I think they've done the right thing in bringing back certainly the quarterback, who the head coach loves, bringing in an offensive coordinator who knows the quarterback, that's been in a similar system. Everything kind of works, right? It just kind of lines up well. And the rest is going to be up to them. You got the draft coming up and all of that. But I was impressed. And like I said, you know, whether you like Baker, don't like him, I think he earned this. He went out and took a below-market contract of $4 million, which is not even backup money. He humbled himself to compete with Kyle Trask, whether that was a real competition or not. And he dug them out after a 3-1 start out of losing, you know, six out of the next seven games, and dug them out and got them to postseason and won a game and had them in a position to win and go to the championship game. So this is a comeback story of sorts for Baker, and he finally found a home. And I think it's I just think it's a good story. All right, we're going to touch on the Lightning and the Rays here in just a minute. But you know what? For the past 14 years, the skilled pros of May Electric Solar have been installing solar energy systems in Florida. Now, they provide the most reliable solar equipment, the best installation methods and service, while helping homeowners cut energy costs with an environmentally friendly investment. May Electric Solar also uses their own skilled employees, never subcontractors. They've always offered the safest and most reliable equipment. Well, now May Electric Solar offers a 30-year no-cost equipment replacement and labor warranty. That means for 30 years, May Electric Solar, backed by Solar Insure, means that your roof, your electrical, and equipment replacement is covered. Solar Insure even survives May Electric Solar, and it's owned by the homeowner with no deductibles or additional fees. This policy will transfer to new homeowners with no fee, and it is not a blanket insurance policy. In fact, only the best contractors are allowed to be part of its program. May Electric Solar's reputation and history of workmanship, that's what's earned them this membership. To learn more about May Electric Solar's installation and their 30-year warranty, call 727-819-2862 or visit mayelectricsolar.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, the Lightning are back in action, Steve. They play the New York Rangers. That could be a round one playoff preview, right?
If the playoffs started today, that would be the matchup. The Rangers first place in the Metro, the Lightning the number one wild card at this point. Eric Chernak will play tonight. Tanner Janot leaning towards playing.
Nice.
So might see him back as well. So at this point, it would be a full roster with the exception of Mikhail Sergachev, who we know is out till at best late in the postseason, if there's even a shot at that.
I mean, a couple of the new additions got a couple of days to practice and rest and get adjusted as well. So.
Yeah, they went on the jet skis around the bay.
Did they really?
Played some golf with the boys.
I love it.
Yeah. So Matt Dumba and Anthony Duclair have trained together in summers in the past.
Oh, okay.
They know each other, which is kind of cool, too. So
yeah.
they were really kind of pumped to be playing with each other. You know, I've talked about it off and on for years because, you know, when you train together, you kind of think about that stuff. So. Which also, when you come to a new team and you come with somebody you know, it does make it a lot easier. So
you're not the only new guy in town, and I'm sure that they will quickly adapt or readapt to the Florida lifestyle in early March. I'm sure that doesn't suck at all. Meanwhile, Tampa Bay Rays. This is not even breaking news anymore, but another pitcher is hurt and is going to miss some time.
Yeah, we said last night that Todd Brasley was scratched because of pectoral tightness. Now he's going to be shut down for 2 weeks, and then they'll evaluate at that point. So,
Yeah, just listen to the broadcast on the way home from the press conference. It nobody, at least Andy and Doug Wechter and somebody, doesn't seem to be a ton of concern or over concern in the organization. Like, you don't hear pec injuries very typically with pitchers.
Well, it's not like it's an arm injury. So I mean,
exactly, you know, elbow, you know, right. Shoulder,
right. So you like to think it's not too serious. I mean, it may keep him out a little bit, and it may delay his, you know, when he starts, and because now you know you're shutting down for 2 weeks.
Yeah,
you're just starting to ramp up. He had pitched 3 innings in his first outing. Probably were hoping for a little more the day he was scratched. So now you may have to start building him back up again when he starts again. But
yeah, saw some of that bullpen. I watched just a little bit at the end of that game, and I tell you what, they are stacked down there. I swear to God, there's going to be some great arms. I don't know how they're going to, you know, spackle it together. You might just have openers every day.
I was going to say, with the way starting pitching in this organization gets hurt.
Yeah, they may just eliminate starting pitching with this rotation and just say, you know what, let's just throw our best guys out there against the best matchups we got. But there's a lot of dudes in that pen that are impressive, a lot of them. And then the ones I saw work the other day were really, really good. So I would assume that at some point we'll get to see or reintroduce ourselves to Jordan Whitehead. That'll be something to look forward to. And then, you know, the rest is just until they run out of money. I think the Bucks will continue to try to work a long-term agreement out for Antoine Winfield Jr., maybe an extension for Tristan Wirfs, and there might be a free agent or two that will catch their eye. So we're not completely through it yet for sure. But a lot of signings that occurred, obviously, as the new league year started on Wednesday at 4 p.m. And also some players getting cut around the league, which is also a reality of this time of year. So you never know who's going to land where, but check it out on the Tampa Bay Times and on TampaBay.com. Thanks for listening. For Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.